Cha University, School of Foreign Languages, 2025-26 Proficiency Exam. Part 1 Listening. Listening 1. You're going to listen to a talk about the fear of public speaking. As you listen, take notes under the four headings provided below. After the talk is finished, you will answer multiple choice questions using your notes. Your notes will not be marked. You have 1 minute 30 seconds to read a brief introduction into the talk and information about the notes you should make.
Hello, everyone. Yeah. Today, I'm going to talk about the fear of public speaking. First, I'll discuss three interesting facts about public speaking. Then, I'll provide five tips for facing this fear. At the end of my talk, I'll tell you where you can get more information on this topic. Let's get started. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. So, here are three facts about the fear of public speaking. The first one is that, according to some surveys, it is the biggest fear people have. It's even more common than the fear of dying. In fact, about 75% of people say they have this fear.
Have you ever had this fear?
Well, yes, I have. I gave a talk last year before a large group, and I felt very nervous. But I'm not nervous today, you know. The second fact is that men and women are affected equally. That may not be surprising, but what may be surprising is that men are more likely than women to find ways to deal with their fear. And third, having this fear can have a negative effect on your career if you don't do anything about it. It can even affect other aspects of your life. But there is good news. You can do something about it. Let's now look at some tips for facing this fear. There are several things you can do. 1. Start small. Find a few friends to practice with, and then practice again with a larger group. If you start small, you will begin to feel more confident.
So, like, how small should the group be?
Experts say the size of the audience makes no difference. When you actually do speak in public, just imagine the group is small. 2. Be prepared. Knowing your material will reduce your fear. If you don't know your material, you will be anxious and possibly get lost. Practice your presentation and time yourself. Also, have more material in case you finish early. I mean, not a lot, just a little extra. 3. Don't memorize everything. No one wants to hear a memorized speech.
Sorry, but what is wrong with memorizing?
I think it's kind of boring for the audience. It also shows you aren't confident. Remembering the main points and examples is enough. 4, reduce stress. You see, for many, the minute just before you speak is the most fearful. Find what works for you. Close your eyes. Laugh. Try what some athletes do. They imagine a positive result and breathe deeply to reduce their stress. 5, involve the audience.
And how do you do that?
Well, for example, before you begin your presentation, talk to a few people in the audience. This shows you are friendly and relaxed. You might want to take questions from the audience during your presentation, too, like I'm doing now. Let me conclude by providing you with some additional information. There are a lot of resources out there for this kind of thing. You can find books on facing your fears in the local library or at any bookstore. I would recommend a book called Be Prepared, Be Confident by Dr. Ricardo Lopez.
Do you know when that book was published?
I'm sorry, but I don't have the answer to that. I'll try and find out. Now, does anyone else have any questions? Yes?
Yes. Why shouldn't someone memorize a presentation?
I think I've already answered that. No one wants to hear a memorized speech because it's, frankly, boring. It's okay to memorize the key points, but avoid...
Now open your test booklet and answer questions 1 to 10. Use your notes to help you. Choose the best answer, A, B, C, D, or E. You have 10 minutes to answer questions 1 to 10. Listening 2. A. Listen to a lecture about key events in education. Choose the correct option, A, B, C, D, or E, to answer questions 11 to 20. You have 2 minutes to read questions 11 to 20.
Good afternoon. Last class, we discussed life events that affect one's identity. For example, getting married and getting a job. Today, I'd like to focus on key events in education. What kind of things can happen during your education that affect the direction of your life? Any ideas?
Well, sometimes people realize they're studying the wrong subject. Maybe you really thought that you wanted to be a designer, but once you start your course, you realize that you don't enjoy it. I know lots of people like that.
Absolutely. This was a common response during my research in which I interviewed 100 students. I asked them, was there a defining moment at school that affected your self-identity? By defining moment, I meant a class or a professor or an experience with other students. One student I spoke to, Tom, told me he'd always wanted to be a doctor. His father was a doctor, his uncle was a doctor. He wanted to be like them. It was part of their family structure. However, in his first year at college, he took a writing seminar and realized he really liked to write. One day in class, he suddenly knew he wanted to be a journalist instead. Sound familiar?
Sure. Lots of students decide on a career and then change their minds. It seems pretty common.
Here's another example from research. It's one from a student named Ben, majoring in biology. Ben had planned to be a computer science major, but then he took a couple of biology classes and discovered not only was he good at it, but that he loved it. He changed majors. Now he plans to work in biotech. Have any of you had a similar experience? Dan?
Well, in high school, I was good at mathematics. I also loved art and design and writing. I had a lot of diverse interests, but planned a major in math. Then I took an intro engineering class. The engineering professor was fantastic. I was hooked. I decided to major in engineering instead. It allows me to combine mathematics and design.
That sounds like a good choice. Anyone else? Hassan?
Well, my defining moment was a little different. It was when I made the swim team earlier this year. I trained hard all summer, and tried out for the team in the fall. I'd wanted to be on the team for a couple of years, and all that practice enabled me to succeed. Now I have a new status at school. I can say I'm a member of the swim team. I can call myself a school athlete. I also changed my major to sports management.
Great that you attained your goal, Hassan. That is a good example of how our achievements can lead to a new identity. All right, was anyone influenced by other students? Yes, Sonia.
Well, I definitely was influenced by my friends in my study group. I really like psychology, but I was concerned about getting a job with a psychology major. My friends know I like to talk to lots of people. I'm outgoing. They suggested I study business. They thought I would be great at it. So, that's what I've decided to do.
Your experiences support my research, which shows students often change their minds about a major after they attend classes and are exposed to new ideas.
Listening to B. You will now hear an excerpt from the lecture. Answer questions 21 to 25 based only on this excerpt by choosing A, B, C, D, or E. You have 1 minute to read questions 21 to 25.
Here's another example from research. It's one from a student named Ben, majoring in biology. Ben had planned to be a computer science major, but then he took a couple of biology classes and discovered not only was he good at it, but that he loved it. He changed majors. Now he plans to work in biotech. Have any of you had a similar experience? Dan.
Well, in high school, I was good at mathematics. I also loved art and design and writing. I had a lot of diverse interests, but planned a major in math. Then I took an intro engineering class. The engineering professor was fantastic. I was hooked. I decided to major in engineering instead. It allows me to combine mathematics and design.
That sounds like a good choice. Anyone else? Hassan.
Well, my defining moment was a little different. It was when I made the swim team earlier this year. I trained hard all summer and tried out for the team in the fall. I'd wanted to be on the team for a couple of years, and all that practice enabled me to succeed. Now I have a new status at school. I can say I'm a member of the swim team. I can call myself a school athlete. I also changed my major to sports management.
Great that you attained your goal, Hassan. That is a good example of how our achievements can lead to a new identity. All right, was anyone influenced by other students? Yes, Sonia.
Well, I definitely was influenced by my friends in my study group. I really like psychology, but I was concerned about getting a job with a psychology major. My friends know I like to talk to lots of people. I'm outgoing. They suggested I study business. They thought I would be great at it. So, that's what I've decided to do.
Your experiences support my research, which shows students often change their minds about a major after they attend classes and are exposed to new ideas.
That is the end of the listening section of the proficiency exam. You may now continue with the rest of the exam.